The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Let's add this, and we'll be done with the Rex Ryan foot fetish thing. But so, Wes Welker.
Yeah, well, the Patriots were going to play the Jets after the foot fetish video came out. And Wes Welker, you can hear how many references he makes here. Just you listen to it. Here's Wes Welker before they play the Jets.
He does a great job of making sure everybody's on the same page and everybody's putting their best foot forward. And you can't just stick your toe in the water, you know. You got to jump right in. You know, you got your foot up in the air. Want to go out there and just put your best foot forward. So he's a great player. He's got great feet. I think he's very patient. You know, he has good feet. He's another guy who has great feet. You want to make sure that, you know, you're putting your best foot forward out there and being good little foot soldiers. And you definitely have to be on your toes and make sure that you're ready to go.
You got your feet up in the air. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know that that one fit necessarily.
Hand over foot, or yeah. I mean,
foot soldiers was a good one.
That was a good one.
Stay on your toes.
So
Wes Welker, it must have killed him to play for the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
with his personality, and now you see Tom Brady. You know what Tom Brady wanted to play somewhere else. I just want to, at some point, be able to have fun and do commercials somewhere. Yeah. Can I do a commercial somewhere at some point, other than these print ads for Stetson or whatever he was doing?
Yeah. Hey, we haven't talked about that. We're going to have Sage Rosenfels coming up, so we'll talk a lot of NFL with him. Not so much Texans, but NFL with Sage on the other side. But we the Rockets won last night, and they've won 8 of 9 now, and they just look like a good basketball team. They went to Atlanta and just shot lights out. Eric Gordon and DJ Augustin were tremendous. DJ Augustin was 6 of 7 from 3. Jayshon Tate was 3 of 4. I think Eric Gordon was 5 of 8. Eric Gordon was just on fire. Eric Gordon was early in the game. Did you see how often he was driving
into the basket? Yeah,
he set himself up. Basket.
He took what the defense gave him. You know, everyone knows you close out Eric Gordon because he wants to shoot from distance. But the difference is he can take you off the bounce still. He's still got some penetration ability.
He absolutely did. He was going in on Clint Capella. He didn't care. He said, and he was trying to draw fouls, and he actually did draw some fouls. He got to the line. He got to the line 9 times and hit 7 of them. He scored 32 points. He was just fantastic. The bench was tremendous. Martin Dwaba, Shengun, Augustin, and Christopher were all tremendous. The entire bench was plus 51 in the game, and you won by 6. So it was a big bench game. And DJ Augustin was asked after the game about this basketball team. And, you know, after losing 15 in a row, you know, laying down, he said, nope.
Oh, we're a team that's not going to lay down. You know, no matter who we play, no matter who we have out, we're going to come in with 5 or 10 guys that's going to play hard to the very end and fight and try to get a win.
You know, he's DJ Augustin. We're not going to mistake him for Chris Paul anytime soon. But he is what this basketball team needs at point guard. He's a guy who is can distribute, that can knock down a three-pointer. They seem to be in a lot more control. Listen, they had 10 straight possessions of assists and 10 straight possessions in the fourth quarter when they're trying to win a basketball game, not just going one-on-one.
10 straight,
it's an NBA record.
Team record?
It's an NBA record.
I mean, 10 is a lot
yeah.
for any team. That's really good. So they had 30 assists against the Bucks. 20 back-to-back, 57 assists.
How about that?
No, not back-to-back because they had Bucks.
Yeah, and then Memphis.
And then they had Memphis. Yeah. But they had, in two of the last three, they have 57 total assists. I got to see what they had against Memphis. It was a lot lower. But that's really impressive. And that shows trust. So they're starting to trust the system. They're trusting each other. And they're starting to get a feel for their hierarchy and what their roles are. And you sensed, I think one of the most frustrating things early in the year was it was just a collection of guys in uniforms. There was no flow. There was no rhyme nor reason to anything that was going on offensively. It was very frustrating. You know, you take it out on Steven Silas because, A, he's an offensive-minded coach, and, B, that's his offense out there. Those are the players he's got to coach. He wasn't getting, you know, the point about Tim Kelly, you're responsible for your results. Mm-hmm. So Steven Silas is responsible for results the same way Tim Kelly is. Tim Kelly is responsible for his results the same way Steven Silas is. Here's the difference. Steven Silas is starting to get results from his guys, and it's Tim Kelly has a lot of new guys to fold in as well. Actually, now that I think about it, Tim Kelly has a lot of new guys to fold in. Running backs, wide receivers, a tight end, offensive line, quarterbacks. He has a ton of new players to fold into a system. So did Steven Silas. But Steven Silas is starting to get results, and Tim Kelly's getting fewer and fewer results by the day. That's why they should be held to the same standards. But now you see one guy, it's going south, and the other guy is seeing improvement from his guys. I would argue that maybe Silas has a little bit more talent, but you could also argue there's a lot of journeymen for the Rockets right now. Tate, Matthews, Brooks. I mean, you don't have a lot of high-end. You got rookies. You don't have a lot of high-end talent, but the reality is Şengün's a first-round pick. Josh Christopher is a first-round pick right now. The court. DJ Augustine is to the point now he's going to be more journeyman, obviously. Eric Gordon is steady veteran, but not a one or a two or probably a three option on any good team right now.
I'm aggravating people calling him Augustine, but I you know what? You spell it Augustine? His mama called him Augustine? I'm going to call him Augustine.
But okay? In German, it's probably be Augustine.
But listen, this is Nordic. In the origin of his name, it's Augustine, okay? And maybe throughout the centuries, it's been changed to Augustine.
Well,
but that
I'm supposed to be Zierlein, and we changed it to Zierlein.
Well, it's not, though. It's Zierlein, and it's I'm going to call you Zierlein. That's your mama called you
Augustine? The second vowel when you see Zierlein. I-E, anything in the German, when you see I-E or E-I, the second vowel is the long vowel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, my Greg Zuerlein tried to, alter Zuerlein. The spelling, Z-U-E-R.
Yeah. Well, hey, maybe Greg. He was ashamed of something.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Your people aren't ashamed.
What is it? No, we came from Austria. We were like Bavarian or whatever. Or we were
like the pretzel.
Austrian. I don't know. We were Bavaria. We came from Bavaria. We were like, hey, we're not in this.
Yeah.
What is this?
That's
this isn't us.
That's the Greg Zuerlein.
Somebody needs to go check where he grew up.
Right.
Where did his people come from?
Right.
So take a look at his tree.
Suck it, whoever.
My ancestry.com shows my people came over. They're like, oh, we got to get out of here. This is ridiculous.
I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to call him Augustine. And so that's what I'm going to continue to do. And oh, by the way, you know,
you're Aaron Rodgers.
Huh?
Bigger troll. Bigger troll, John or Aaron Rodgers?
Me? No. Yeah, no question.
Aaron Rodgers is a pretty good troll,
Here's a programming reminder. Once again, Christmas party, December 24th, and we are raising money right now. If you please go and go to ESPN975.com/12days, Houston Pets Alive. Houston Pets Alive, saving dogs and cats at risk of euthanasia. And then here's another little programming reminder that today at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, BK is going to be eating 40 nuggets, 4 McDoubles, and a large fry because he lost in their pick'em. BK is really, really, really terrible at picking NFL games.
And he's a thin guy.
Games. And he's a skinny guy, but he had to eat what Cody used to eat when Cody was at his heaviest.
Hold on.
This is a McDonald's order for Cody when he was heavy, at his heaviest. 40 McNuggets, 4 McDoubles, and a large fry.
Cody would eat that?
That's how much he would eat.
Let me see that.
At one sitting. It's 3,750 calories. Now, that's a lot.
That's like, almost 2 days.
That's
40 McNuggets.
That's probably 10 times what BK no sauce. Eats in a sitting.
40 McNuggets, 1,660 calories.
Now, that's
calories.
Without sauce. That's yeah, but he probably will have a sauce. Yeah, I'm not going to eat 40 McNuggets without a sauce.
Oh, yeah. So
how are you going to choke down
not,
40 McNuggets?
First of all, he's not getting through 40 McNuggets.
Look at the size of Jake. His body doesn't go through 3,700
calories. He's got an hour to do it, and he has to do it.
No, you should give him the whole show.
Well, no. 1 hour. Got 1 hour.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever. That's going to make anybody.
How would you get ready? Eat all day or no?
No.
Well, you're eat supposed all to expand. You're supposed to expand your stomach.
No. You can't eat. You can't eat at all. You got to be hungry. You got to eat slow. You got to give him 3 hours. I don't think he could do this in 3 hours. 40 McNuggets is going to be hard enough. That's 1,660 calories. Four McDoubles at 1,600
four
calories.
Four McDoubles is what?
Is,
how are you going to choke
I them? Could do that, and then I'd be
I
done.
I couldn't eat two.
I'd be done. Well, remember, they're not huge, right? They're small patties, or they're
is
are they
the
two quarter
burger,
pounders?
The smaller.
Are they 2 quarter pounders?
No. McDoubles are just regular cheeseburgers.
Like the small ones?
Yeah. But it's still four of them. And 40
are you
McNuggets.
Sure they're 400
and a large fries.
Yeah, 400 calories a piece. 1,600 and large fries are 490 calories. 3,750. Okay, this won't happen. If they gave him 3 hours, could it happen? Yes, Aaron.
I don't know if they know this, if they're giving him the full hour. They're off at 6:30 for Aggie basketball tonight, so he gets 30 minutes to eat all this.
Well, they'll probably start at 5:30 then.
I hope they know that.
Yeah. Well,
trust
somebody will have to inform
me. Let me tell you something. From working in the afternoon, when you work afternoon shows and you're going to get
off early,
you know exactly what that schedule looks like. They know.
Yep.
My guess is they'll start this at 5 o'clock. They'll promote it through 4, or they'll start it at 5:30 until the end of the show. What they should do is give him from 5 to 6:30, an hour and a half. I'm going to be up here, and I will.
You got
to
check in.
Yeah, so I'll do some interviews with him with my phone, see how he's doing during breaks, or I'll try to help him out with I'll take one of those McDoubles off his hands.
No, you can't. It's his punishment for being so crappy.
I got reservations for one of those Christmas pop up bars at Winnie's. It's called Miracle at Winnie's, and it's hard to get reservations. We're going to be on the patio tonight. So I'm going to be drinking anyway, starting at about 8:30 is when my reservations are. So I figure I'm going to have just some bone broth for lunch. That's it. So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to say, you know what? Hey, why don't you sneak me a little something? I'll help you out.
Aggie's canceled tonight. Aggie's basketball canceled tonight. Maybe, I don't know if they've got
I did not get that
a
even.
Lot of
all
COVID
right.
crap going on again, man.
37 positive in one single day in the NFL, it's becoming an issue. But like my wife said, this Omicron is not really you have COVID, but it's not, they're not seeing the same results. She has a friend who works at the hospital who said, we're getting a little busier than we had been.
Like my wife said, Dr. Nicole, what are you saying here?
No, my wife was, we had a conversation about, she goes, well, what are they going to do?
Do you always go to her instead of Fauci?
No, we had a conversation about the positive COVID test in the NFL. She goes, yeah, but is it like, are they having a lot of problems with people getting really sick? It's not supposed to be as bad. So is the NFL really going to make a bunch of changes? And I thought, you know, I don't know. I feel like the NFL's not going to change their policy at all.
We'll see. 913 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about the Golden Nugget. I know this. I'm going to the Golden Nugget and I'm going to party. I'm going to drink Coors Lights there. I'm going to gamble at the tables. I'm going to play poker. I'm hopefully going to, if the weather is nice, going to play golf because the golf course is excellent and we'll highly enjoy it. My son and my son-in-law will have a great time. The ladies are going to the spa and they're going to get a wonderful spa treatment day. This is all going to happen over the Christmas holiday. Make your Christmas plans now. It's going to fill up. It's going to be packed. It's going to be wonderful. You can go there now and you can, oh, there's games on? Well, can I watch the games? Yes, they got 1,000 TVs. They got TVs in the restaurants, the wonderful restaurants that you can watch while you're eating. And, oh, by the way, you can bet on the games now because they have the DraftKings Sportsbook. It can't be better. It's Vegas in Lake Charles. You don't have to fly all the way to Vegas now to get everything you need in that casino because it's right at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. It's the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles, baby.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're locked into The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, bringing in Sage once again here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage, welcome back to the show. What's going on?
Oh, not much, guys. Another Tuesday, another Texans loss. I was actually going through a little list of who are the worst teams in the NFL. Of course, Houston in that list, joining the Jaguars, the Lions, the Jets. I think there's like sort of a bottom four that are so far below everybody else. They have their own group, and the Texans are obviously a part of that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. They're right there, square in the middle.
Who's worse right now? Who's worse off? And this is subjective. So however you want to look at this, you can. Who's worse off right now?
Rank your four worst teams.
Well, I want to ask just worst. The two, Jacksonville or Houston.
The Lions are right there too, though.
Right. Out of those three, who's the worst off?
Yeah. So as I look at them, okay, the Jags are the biggest dumpster fire of them all because it seems like every single person in that building absolutely hates the head coach. So I think is the most like toxic, worst situation for everyone involved, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because it seems like to me, the players, I assume the coaches, like the Texans head coach, David Culley, it seems like a very nice guy. It seems like in Jacksonville, everyone hates the head coach. So I'd actually put them as the worst franchise currently. But as far as actually the worst team, I think the Texans are, even though they have these two wins, of course, the first win of the year against Jacksonville, the game in the rain and that mess in Tennessee was sort of one of those sort of fluke wins that occurs. But I do think the Texans are on the field the worst team in the NFL. The Lions are bad. They have all these close losses, at least. The Texans don't even really have very many close losses. And the Lions do have that win against Minnesota, which is a pretty good football team, right? So the Jets aren't good at all either. They get blown out in a lot of games, a lot of 2-3 touchdown losses. But I do think on the field, the Texans are the worst in the NFL. But overall, the franchise on and off the field, the Jaguars are the biggest dumpster fire.
So we had a caller who his contention, Sage, was that the Texans are actively tanking and that with Deshaun Watson, this team is right there in contention for a wild card spot. Do you not see it the same way?
Well, Deshaun Watson doesn't play corner. He doesn't play safety.
Right.
He doesn't play offensive line. He only does one position. Davis Mills in this game threw for 331 yards and about a 65% completion percentage. I thought he played really well in this game, but he can't do all these other things. And they lost by 20. The quarterback played well. They didn't turn the ball over, and they lost by 20. There are so many poor plays in this game by veteran players. There are plays where you have two tight ends blocking, and they just don't block the defensive end. Right? Just easy miscommunication. There are plays where there's what we call a crack replace, where a receiver comes in and he cracks the safety, which means the corner has to replace. He doesn't do a good job. That was Lonnie Johnson. Penny goes for a 50-yard touchdown run. The corner and up, the corner post right before the half with 58 seconds left, do you not think that they're probably going to take a shot here before the half and see if they can't get a touchdown? They do.
the safety is not nearly deep enough to make that play. You have to be deeper than all, you know, than everybody else if you're the free safety in the middle, right? So Deshaun Watson comes to this football team. Sure, they're better, right? They maybe they're 4-9 right now, or 5-8, but there's a lot of holes on this team, a lot of bad play, just poor football. And in the NFL, the players are, and they, by the way, this is a, they lost by 20 to a Seahawks team that's really been struggling and has not played very well at all this year. And that was, ends up being pretty sort of an easy win for them. I mean, they ran for almost 200 yards in this game. This is the NFL. Like, teams don't run for 200 yards in football games very often. And they ran Rashad Penny ran for 137 and you know, 8.5 yards per attempt. I mean, that is bad football, and no quarterback change is going to change that.
Sage Rosenfels here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, breaking it down for us. Davis Mills started with a team record 14 straight completions and finished with yet another goose egg in the second half. With, I just don't get their second half, but maybe you can break it down for us. Which Davis Mills was this, and were you, what did you think of his performance Sunday?
I thought it was great. I mean, I will say I have pretty low expectations for rookie quarterbacks. I just do. I think it's probably based off my own situation where I came in the NFL from Iowa State and I was drafted by Washington, and I felt like I knew so little about the NFL game, offense and defense and protections and the complexity of protections and, of course, all the coverages and the things that you see. It's just so much a higher level of football when you get to the National Football League compared to college. And so when I see a rookie come in and execute and do pretty well and generally doesn't miss very many throws, like when there's guys open, more often than not, he hits them. It's not like he's an inaccurate quarterback. So I see a lot of really good things out of him. I mean, I do. I just, he only can do so much. He's not a guy who's going to carry the entire team on his back and just be making plays all over the place to make up for everybody else screwing things up. Like, he's only one person. So I am more and more as this season goes on, the more I am impressed with Davis Mills.
So let's talk a little bit.
That's a big deal coming from a quarterback.
It really is. And here, well above average coach says this on Twitter: if the Texans had drafted Wilson or Lawrence and he was putting up Davis Mills numbers with no wins, fans would be saying, oh, he's just a rookie, he'll be fine. But Mills, because they didn't like the pick, he's a third rounder, they want to close the book on him already. You agree with that?
Oh, I think that'd be, well, I mean, I don't know what his long term, you know, in the next 10 years, what's going to happen with Davis Mills. I just know that as a rookie, from what I, going back to the start coming on this show, it was, you know, preseason, and we're just sort of seeing what this team is going to be. I was trying to get a feel for the offense. You know, this is not one of those quarterback under center, you know, Sean McVay play action bootleg teams. They're in a lot of shotgun. I'm trying to mentally go, okay, well, you know, Culley, the head coach, came from Baltimore and sort of what they do with Lamar Jackson, try to fit all the pieces in. You got this young third rounder who's like, he's doing a few things, but you can just see how raw he is. And you see that transition all the way till now. Him playing, him not playing, Terod going in there, playing okay, and then playing poorly. And then, yeah, as you've seen Davis grow, yeah, I'm super impressed. I don't know what the long term is, but as far as a rookie, this guy is going to play in the NFL for a long time, in my opinion. I think a lot of teams would love to have him as maybe not the starter right now, but as a guy in their roster who is, like, you know, meeting expectations and then some for a third-round draft pick. I think the guy's going to be NFL for a long time. I think he's a good player. He just needs to have players around him. And there's, you know, those 46 sort of addressed on game day. The quarterback is the most important in a lot of ways, but they aren't the only player out there. And they're not, they're losing. It's not, you know, just because of the quarterback. And that does occur when you have, like, a rookie going in there and playing. I look at some of the other rookies playing, and they're not playing great. You know, Justin Fields does some things in Chicago, but, you know, he turns the ball over his fair share, and he gets hit, and he misses throws, and he has a better team, a much better team in Chicago. So I think Mills is playing very well. I think a lot of teams, and they said, hey, if you draft a quarterback in the third round, plays a lot as a rookie, you put on his film and you watch it, I think all 32 teams are like, yeah, we'd be pretty happy with that third-round pick.
Yeah. He's got 1,787 yards, more yards than Justin Fields, who's had 9 starts, 8 pass TDs, more than Zach Wilson, and an 81 rating, which is higher than Trevor Lawrence. So he's and with this team,
Who made that whole?
Put some respect on it. Spin did. That's
well,
who did.
I look at also, like, how many missed throws does he have? Like, that is important to me. When guys are open, you got to hit them. And when you're a rookie, it is hard. There's so much going on. Sometimes guys have sort of happy feet, or they're uncomfortable, or they're just not accurate. And when you're seeing out of him, is you're seeing a pretty cool, calm, and collected player back there who's moving around the pocket a little bit. But more often than not, though, he hits guys that are open. He's not trying to force balls into coverage too much. He takes those checkdowns. Like, he does some veteran type things, and I think that's a good sign for a rookie quarterback.
He's poised, that's for sure. Now, quickly, we're up against a break here, but I want to get done with Davis Mills before we move on to the rest of the NFL. How much do you – but he's been criticized a little bit here because he doesn't get him out of bad situations, you know, running against an 8-man front, and he's not making pre-snap decisions well. How much, as a coaching staff, do you put on a rookie quarterback to do those things?
Well, I would assume, and I'm making various assumptions because he went to Stanford, right? So I'm assuming that he can probably handle a lot, and it's really just up to the coaches. And it looked like when they're running into bad looks, that's not on the quarterback; that's on the coaches. You know, and when they run into a look where a guy blitzes off the slot and nobody is there to block him, that's not the quarterback's fault. The coach has to give him those tools. So I'm not in those game plan meetings. I'm not in those quarterback meetings. I don't know how they're game planning these various looks. If it's, you know, you got to run, that's not a great look this way. We're going to throw the bubble the other way, or we're going to run the other way. We're going to pass. I don't see a ton of audibling by this team, but I don't know how. I don't think that's on the quarterback. I think that's the coaches for various reasons, probably not creating an overly complex system. But as I said, I mean, This team's getting beat not because of that. This team's getting beat because they get the ball down to the 6-inch line, and a tight end covers up an eligible, you know, tackle that comes in as an eligible tight end, and covers them up, and now the ball's in the 6-yard line. Like, mistakes like that. That's not Davis Mills' fault. That, right? That is, they're just like, you know, a tight end comes across and doesn't block the defensive end on a play action. Davis Mills gets sacked. Now we're in third and long situations, right? It's other players not carrying their weight, and it's not, again, I don't believe it's the quarterback's fault as to why, you know, maybe certain runs are left on against not great looks.
9:30. Got to take one here. Sage joins us on the. We'll talk about what's going on in the rest of the NFL with Sage Rosenfels right here at Sage Rosenfels 18 on Twitter. Right now, though, it's HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525. My peeps over there at HRP, a big U of H guy, is my man. He is, Mike Holly is so into U of H, and you U of H people, you know, support your own. You got to. But, hey, listen, I don't care where you went to college. This is a great product. The product is that they're going to get you the payroll at a great price, and they're going to do your HR as well. But there's so much more to it. They're going to also set you up, not make you take insurance benefits packages, 401k packages. They're not going to make you force you to take like the other people do so that they make a bunch of money. That's not what HRMP is about. HRMP is about HR and payroll, HRMP, and that's all they do. And then they set you up with the rest of the stuff. Here's the deal. If you're looking for a great company, we love them. You will love them too. You want that kind of service, but you also want the service of tax time. You want their knowledge in Affordable Care Act. You want all that they do for you come tax time. You want it all at HRMP, and you get it. So if you're looking for that payroll company, go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage, man, the NFC is so good. So good. The Packers are looking great. The Bucks look really good. The Cardinals, obviously, good football team, but they dropped to 3 now. The Cowboys seem to have it going back.
A huge win, though, against Washington. They really needed that.
They had to have it. Had to have it. The Rams are looking really good. I mean, this is really what you – when you look at the breakdown of what the playoffs are going to be in the NFC, this is going to be sweet.
You named off like 4 teams. Did you not name off the Buccaneers?
I said the Bucks. I said the Bucks are playing well. Yeah. They're the 2 seed.
The whatever the scene is, you know, it's as the season's gone on, you know, it's like everyone looks at the rematch. Is it going to be Tampa Bay and Kansas City? And then as teams have a couple losses here and there, it's like, well, maybe not Kansas City. But man, they're back and they're playing great football again. But yeah, the NFC is going to be very interesting. That game last night was huge with the Cardinals and the Rams. You look back and there might be a home field advantage thing based off of that crazy play earlier in the year with the Cardinals and the Packers on like the fade route that got intercepted on one of the last plays. Of that football game, and that might have a huge impact, obviously, on like home field advantage. I imagine Arizona. I'm sure the Buccaneers probably don't want to. No one wants to go to Green Bay in January. The Rams definitely don't want to go to Green Bay in January, right? So yeah, the NFC is top heavy. There's like 5 teams that are really good, and they're going to be great playoff outs. The Cowboys are an interesting team. I Washington had been playing well. With Heinicke, they go up there, and Dak doesn't play well. Dak has a couple of interceptions, doesn't play his best football, and they still get a really big win, a pretty strong win, too. And that defense is just, I mean, what a night and day change over the last year or so, how much that defense has changed with Dan Quinn as the head coach. That's a guy, by the way, I think should be a head coach, one of those guys who gets another shot because he is making use of of not being a head coach anymore. Now he's a defensive coordinator in that Cowboys defense, and Micah Parsons is playing extremely well. I don't think anybody wants to play the Cowboys either. So, yeah, the NFC is going to be a lot of fun. The Rams they're going to be right there. They're going to be right there with the Cardinals in that division. Of course, I don't know how many teams really want to play the 49ers. I know they're only 7-6, but you know, they're a team that when they run the ball, man, it is like a train coming down the tracks, and they got some playmakers on the edge. The question is, does Jimmy Garoppolo, how does he play in crunch time? And sometimes he comes through, sometimes he doesn't. But they're another one of those teams that's, just above 500 that could be dangerous in the playoffs as well. And yeah, the NFC is just stacked this year.
I think what's interesting is, right now, some eyes should be on Arizona because we saw last year the second half of the season they faded, and you have Kyler Murray coming back, made some really bad decisions yesterday in the game. I think there is a belief that people don't want to buy into Arizona just yet because they want to see a full season. I think these next 4 games down the stretch are going to be very, very important for Arizona because I think they have to convince themselves as well that they're the team that their record says. Because Stafford's been around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stafford, Green Bay, the Rams, Green Bay, the Bucks. I think they kind of know who they are. I'm not sure Arizona buys into themselves necessarily.
Well, and Kyler was out for 3 games, and he's back. He doesn't play very well. You know, you never know with those offenses where the quarterback is sort of relied on to occasionally scramble around and make plays. And, a lot of times it's hard just to make plays, especially when it comes playoff time, to rely on that. And their defense has played extremely well all season, and that's actually sort of been the strength of their football team. But, they had an off night last night as well. I mean, you don't see DeAndre Hopkins drop a pass and fourth down in the red zone. That was a huge play in that game. They made some bad mistakes. They're a very good football team. They're going to be right in that mix, but You know, the fun thing about last night was it felt like, okay, this is basically a playoff game. And I think that's when the NFL does best, when it feels like, even though, of course, it wasn't a playoff game, but it had major playoff implications, and it felt like a playoff game and in every facet. And the Rams didn't make those mistakes. They played a very clean football game. They used, you know, their play action and bootleg stuff to really hit. Probably reminded Texans fans, those who watched it, a little Kubiak style going on there with Matt Stafford rolling out of the pocket and throwing a deep post across the field. The old Texans used to do that type of stuff. We saw that last night with the Rams and what they're doing. So yeah, the Cardinals, and that is a very, very tough division. I do think the Cardinals are going to be right there, but you know, with that loss last night, that sort of moves them out of home field advantage. And you know, the Buccaneers are not a team that anyone wants. No one wants to play Tom Brady.
No,
but he just wins all the close games. Yep. I mean, I had very little doubt in my mind when they got the ball on their own 6-yard line that he was going to go down and score a touchdown. All right,
Same thing against the Colts.
A lot of teams would fold in that situation. They end up punting, get the ball to their team at midfield. They kick that field goal. They win the game in overtime. Not with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. You know, he just works his way down the field and boom, touchdown, game over. And that's, you know, Tom, whatever stats say about Tom's career, it's the clutch aspect of him as the quarterback. He is so clutch 90% of the time, where it's the key third downs, the key red zone throws, the key fourth quarter plays, the key overtime plays. He almost always makes the most important plays of the game. And that those are teams that you just don't want to see. Those are the types of quarterbacks you don't want to see in the playoffs.
All right, quickly, we're running out of time here. The Colts, the Bills, the Browns, the Bengals, and the Broncos are all 7-6. Two of them will make the playoffs. Who are they?
That's a good question. I'm sort of going through it here. I think the Browns are a team that's going to make the playoffs. They haven't played their best football. They got a big win this past weekend against the Ravens. I feel like the Ravens are sort of floundering in that division, and I think the Browns overtake them. Maybe it's the Bengals, but I do think with that win this weekend, and there's a lot of things about the Ravens that I don't like. I see time and time again teams all out blitzing the Ravens quarterbacks. Of course, usually Lamar Jackson, he's hurt now. We'll see how long he's out, if he's out at all.
He says he's going to play.
Teams will all out blitz him, and this has been going on for years, and they don't have an answer. They don't have an audible system. They don't have something else he can get to. They just don't seem to have an answer for all out blitzes, and teams do it all the time. And, you know, it's 3rd and 10, and they all out blitz, and all these guys a little flat route to throw to, no audible system. And then there's an easy tackle for a 2-yard gain. I mean, you're just seeing this time and time again, which makes me think that there's a lot of sort of various sort of holes in their offense. And there's only sort of so much you can do when you don't have answers for something that continually happens to you. So I do see the Browns, possibly the Bengals, overcoming them and winning that AFC North. And that, to me, would be sort of the change of who are in the lead of these divisions. It'd be the Browns sort of coming back from being under 500 to possibly win that division.
Sneaky.
I love Kevin Stefanski as a coach.
Yeah, sneaky big game this week. Colts and Patriots at the Colts after a bye week. We'll see what happens there. That's Sage Rosenfels here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every Tuesday from 9:15 to 9:43. We appreciate it, Sage, as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, fellas. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Let's take a quick one here. News of the weird. Are Lance, brain surgeons, and rocket scientists smarter than the rest of us? We'll find out on the other side.
Oh, I've got a thought on that.
Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, our final segment. Let's go. This is it. Charlie Polillo is next right here. Don't forget the Christmas party on Friday, next Friday, December 24th. We want you out there, Klein's. Go to get your stuff from him now. Have it. It'll be ready for you. You pick it up. It's a perfect deal. Perfect deal. December 24th is the perfect time for the Christmas party. So we're going to have a big time. Y'all are off. Make sure that you come out. Food, drink, everything. All on us at the Christmas party. Lance, brain surgeons and rocket scientists are no brighter than the rest of us, a study has found. Data from 329 aerospace engineers and 72 neurosurgeons suggests they are not necessarily cleverer than the general population. They took a test, the Great Britain Intelligence Test and the Cognitron platform, as well as answering questions around their age, sex, and levels of experience in their specialty. And it was found that they're just like the rest of us. So if you, okay, you can put a brain surgeon on a pedestal, but I'm not going to.
Okay, what about now do this country?
What do you mean now this
country? You said that was British.
Yeah, no, they're not as bright as...
British people are much more intelligent than we are. I can only assume that listening to their accents.
The test was British. Doesn't mean they were British.
How do we know?
Because...
Read there.
It's the Great Britain test.
I know.
What's
that? What's the source?
I don't care.
Is it The Guardian?
I don't know. I'd have to read
it. Is it The Guardian, which is...
Yes. Yes.
The whole thing's European. The whole thing's English.
That's okay. Here? Oh, you think the brain surgeons are smarter than people from Florida?
Yes.
No.
I think the brain surgeons and rocket scientists are smarter than Americans. We're so dumb.
Oh.
We are so smart. SMRT. Smart. We're so dumb. Oh. This country's so dumb. Just turn on Twitter.
Do you think?
See how dumb these
people
are.
Who's smarter? This guy from Singapore?
Go check out Trending Topics. You'll see how dumb we are.
Who's smarter? This guy from Singapore or us?
Singapore.
Oh, really?
Hey!
Well, he's a motorist involved in two unrelated fatal traffic accidents in 2008 and 2014. He was caught driving a car last year, and he's not supposed to. His license has been taken away.
Okay.
So what did he do? He said he was his brother.
B.
Okay. So I'm
America.
I'm my brother.
B. America.
Guess what? His brother was wanted by Singapore police as well.
Am I my brother's keeper? That has got to be just terrible for the family. Like, we got
what kind of
brothers showing up in the news again. This is terrible.
One's posing as the other one, and he's wanted. What?
One's posing as a guy who's actually even worse than the first one, who's been involved in a fatality. What did we do to deserve this?
There is a... Oh, speaking of, in Queensland, this is another Guardian story here. Apparently... A real estate agency in Queensland has sent emails offering to facilitate sending of gifts. What they want is for residents of their apartment building is to send them to buy gifts for the real estate agency. Unfortunately, they just raised their rent. They put out there, hey, some of your gifts include a $50 white wine grazing box, a $50 festive sweets basket, $70 self-care hamper. Okay.
Wait, they want this for themselves?
For themselves.
You know, it would be smashing. If you were to come through with a case of brilliant white wine, I've taken the time to write out a list of 8 different types of wine that I'd like for you to give me.
Or a hamper.
This holiday season.
I could use this hamper. I know
that would be absolutely brilliant.
I know we own this building and you're renting from us, but wouldn't it be great?
Could you please bring me... a nice new cardigan along with the rent check? That would be absolutely brilliant.
Speaking of brilliant.
Thanks, old chum.
Speaking of brilliant, a man in Tulsa stole a car and drove it to Walmart.
Okay.
Unbeknownst to him, he parked it in the parking space reserved for law enforcement, which they found, and then found the man. And arrested him for stealing a
Tulsa,
car.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Now, where did he park?
He parked in the cop spot
of
the Walmart. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Wait a minute. Whoa.
There you have that.
Yeah.
There you have that. Because when I've ever been in a Walmart, the first thing I say is, I bet these people could beat rocket scientists and brain surgeons.
Well,
it's the first thing I think of. Like, I wish that British test was here, right inside this Walmart, and we'd see what happens. We'd take down all those rocket scientists and brain surgeons here at the Walmart, next to the McDonald's in the Walmart, next to the 80-year-old greeter.
Kentucky hairdresser has gone viral. Apparently,
Gorilla glue. More Gorilla glue.
Her pet guinea pig chewed off her bangs while she was sleeping. But she's not upset. She feels like the guinea pig was just jealous. And that's why the guinea pig chewed off her hair.
Where is this? Where did this?
There.
Oh, my God. How do you stay asleep that long? How do you? Do they have a before? And
look at all the hair in the guinea pig.
This woman.
Hold on.
Oh, my God.
Do you feel like this hairdresser is?
How deeply were you sleeping?
Do you feel like she might be a brain surgeon someday?
Do you have a before picture of what her hair used to look like anywhere?
There she was, just hanging out with a guinea pig. And
she's got her hair pulled
and
back.
And there she is after.
And that's a hairdresser?
Have you ever had your hair chewed off by a guinea pig?
I cut it off when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Do your kids cut their hair off?
Right. Yeah, my kids did. Yeah.
Almost,
Frankie did. Yeah,
I'd say 70% of the kids out there will eventually get to their hair
at some
and cut
point.
It.
Cut their own hair. Oh, yeah. Frankie did.
Do black kids? I don't know. White kids do that. That's a white kid thing. Like, ooh, I was hot. Like, yeah. I think my brother said he was hot, so he cut some of his hair. I don't know why I did mine. I've heard of kids getting gum in their hair, and they cut out the root and stuff like that. I don't know if that's just a white kid thing or not.
I don't know. Maybe
Hispanic kids, black kids, Asian kids. I don't know. If y'all want to jump in, we've always got Twitter.
Well, we do have Twitter, but we also have to leave because Charlie Polillo is up next right here on ESPN.
Says you.
97.5. And, well, we'll see. We'll see if Charlie's here. We don't know. We never know that. But great show. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you again tomorrow. Right now, though, I'm talking about Pajamagram. This Christmas, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all, guys, with soft, silky, naturally new pajamas available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sensuous, smooth, naturally new pajamas make her feel really wonderful, soft and smooth, even more alluring than lingerie. The texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive. You'll both love the feel of them. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you with free gift packaging. Now, you order today, Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of naturally nude pajamas. That is free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. In a year filled with the unexpected, get her something she can count on. But you need to order today because they sold out last year. So here is what you do. Go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com to order naturally nude pajamas. And tell them John Granato sent you. Because we're going to be
ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.